Here's what I hope to do today. I hope to leave you asking three questions of yourself each day that can challenge you so you can grow in your walk with Christ. So as we get ready to talk about this today, know this. This is about you. This is between you and the Lord, okay? But I'm going to use the Word of God that will kind of launch us or challenge us in our growth, in our depth, because how many of you know that relationships can be challenging, life can be challenging, and every day you wake up, there's always some kind of a challenge you're going to run into, right? Hello, does the microphone work? Right? You're going to, like I'm challenging you right now. So there's always going to be challenges, and we know this. But the greater question is how are you going to respond in the midst of these challenges? Maybe you're going through a crisis. Maybe you're going through a difficult time. I believe what we just did up here was a wonderful thing. We had church already, right? And it's about an encounter with Jesus. It's about saying, Jesus, you know right where I'm at. I need to know right where I'm at. And so we've had that time. And what we want to do is bring it back to the Word of God, because life can be challenging. Communicating can be challenging. And it really kind of resonates with our words. Our words are very powerful. Can we agree on that? They've said before, words are like nitroglycerin. They can either heal a heart or they can blow up a bridge. How you use those words is very important. So what I want to talk to you about today a little bit has to do with the power of our words, but what does that mean in our walk with Christ? What does that mean in our depth, in our relationship with Christ? And so I'll give you those questions in just a minute. And the challenge throughout this week will be to say, Lord, what do you have to say about this? Because our words are very powerful. They can trip you up. And they can, you know, from the most innocent to the most destructive. And you never know. You know, it was last week, I was, you ever have times when you're tired and you say things and it just kind of, you know, whoops, I let that slip. They're innocent things. You know, like my wife, I love my wife. I tell her I love you before I leave the house, you know. Hey, love you, and, you know, she'll go on. But when you get tired, sometimes you don't think straight. Now, many of you know Sylvia. Do you remember Sylvia, the cleaning lady here? She made those wonderful tacos for us a few weeks ago. Okay, now everyone's like, oh, yeah, taco lady. I remember that. That was just amazing, wasn't it? Some great food. Well, Sylvia, you know, she works here, and she does the cleaning. And I was coming into the church one day, and I had Drea next to me, and Sylvia was coming out, and she rolled down the window. She didn't even really want to talk to me. She wanted to talk to Drea, right? She's like, oh, you got baby in truck, you know? And I'm like, no. And, you know, how are you doing? And they're having this conversation, and I'm zoning out. I'm tired. And you know how it is when you're tired and you just aren't thinking straight? And so as we're getting ready to leave, she goes, okay, well, I'll see you later. I said, okay, love you. I started to say love you to Sylvia, who's not my wife. Because I'm not thinking, right? That could get me in trouble. Big trouble. So I just want to clarify that I did not intentionally do that. But sometimes those words can slip you up. But I'll tell you what can make it even worse is when it brings even bigger problems. When Lisa and I first got married, we, as newlyweds, you're getting everything figured out. And Lisa made chili one night. And she worked hard on this. She cooked. We come around the table. We sit down around the table. She gets a bowl of chili, pours it, sets it in front of me. And you will not believe the words that came out of my face, right? I looked at the chili. I looked at her, and I said, it's not like my mom makes it. I know, right? Can you believe I actually said that? And I'm still alive to talk about it. That's a miracle in itself. But those words came out. Now, I didn't mean them as harshly as they cut, but I was young. I was foolish. You know, I didn't always thinking straight. I said, it doesn't look like my mom's chili. Now, you want to know how long it was before I ever ate chili in our house again? Right? If I wanted chili, I had to go to Wendy's to get it because she's not making me chili. Now, we can laugh about it now, but we weren't laughing then. You know why? Because words are very powerful. Was I trying to be a jerk about it? I wasn't trying to. It just kind of came naturally to me, I guess. And I said words that I wish I could take back, but I can't. I couldn't. And we had to learn what it meant to get healing. This world is going to have pain. Have you figured that out? There's going to be two great teachers in life. And I put two bullets at the top of your outline. And one of the first teachers that we will learn from will be the pain of discipline. Discipline is never really fun unless we're the ones telling others what to do. Then we like it, you know. But disciplining yourself, it can be a challenge, but you've either got the pain of discipline or you're left with the pain of regret. It's one of those two teachers in life. You see, there's things in life that I regret and I learn the hard way, and I wish I could take them back, but I can't. But I can learn from it so that I don't have to learn from it again. So I don't have to repeat it one more time. You see, discipline, though, if I would choose to learn by discipline, then I wouldn't have to worry about regret as much because I'm constantly disciplining myself for the righteousness of God. But here's the problem. You see, the pain of discipline, if you discipline yourself, it'll cost you pennies in the big picture, but the pain of regret will cost you millions. It can cost you so much in life. The pain of discipline may cost you some of your time as you discipline yourself for the righteousness of God, for whatever it is in your life. The pain of regret can literally cost you your life. You may wish you could take back or erase some words that you've said. Probably all of us have felt like that before at some point in time in our life. As much as I wish I could take those words back that I spoke when she set the chili in front of me, I can't take it back, but I can learn from it. And I did. And I had to learn to change my vocabulary. I had to learn to communicate. I had to think before I spoke. And there was a point in time when I had it backwards. I would speak first and then think later. And it got me in trouble almost every time. You see, we need to retain our tongues, and it's one of the greatest members of our body, the Bible says. Like the rudder of a ship, it steers where we are going. So we have to be very conscientious of this. We need to practice over and over again, thinking before we speak until it becomes our default system. It has to be something that becomes automatic. We have to work at that because here's what happens in life. How many of you found this to be true? There's a lot of pressure in life. And when the pressure comes on, whatever's inside of you will come out. And so the question this morning is, when the pressure squeezes you here and shapes you there, what comes out of you? Because whatever's in there is going to come out. Is it the glory of God? You know, is it love, joy, peace, patience, kindness? You know, okay, the fruit of the Spirit. But the reality is when pressure comes in our life, it's never fun, it's never comfortable, but whatever is on the inside is going to come out. So we have to prepare ourselves. You know, the pressures were to come on right now, what's on the inside that would come out? Maybe you're here today and you're saying, I don't want to say, you know. But you can do something about that. But we have to practice this. I don't know if any of you have ever done this, but I did a couple 5Ks before. But, you know, they're kind of simple and they're not too bad. I don't want to do them now, but I could do them. But if you're going to do any kind of a triathlon or marathon, you know, 5K, 10K, anything that's much larger than the piddly little 5Ks I did, you're going to prepare yourself for that run. You're not just going to show up one day and run a half marathon, are you? If you are, you know, some of you, maybe you can do that. I cannot. There better be an ambulance close by, a little bit of oxygen and adrenaline or something. I can't do that. I have to prepare. I have to practice. I have to work myself into that. And many people that run marathons or do a lot of competitions will get a coach in their life. And if the coach is worth anything to that runner, a good coach will tell that person that you need to drink water about every 15 minutes. And so a coach will tell the runner, drink water 15 minutes, every 15 minutes drink some water. But if the runner says, I don't want to drink water because I don't feel thirsty, it's not going to do him any good. Because the coach knows something that the runner doesn't. The coach knows that whether you feel thirsty or not, your body will become dehydrated if you don't take in that water. See, if a runner waits until they feel thirsty, it's already over. It's already done. They're already at that point of dehydration, and they're not going to be able to catch up. Well, in our journey with Christ, we have a coach that knows us better than we know us. And he knows how this race is run. And he says that we must drink in, we must feed our spirit, we must continually come to this place of humbling our heart and saying, Jesus, what do you say about this? And getting God's perspective, because if we don't, we're going to become spiritually dehydrated. We're going to wear out. We're going to burn out. And so we have to learn how to prepare our hearts so that when we do face a crisis, how many of you know that crisis doesn't send you an invite? Crisis in life, they don't let you know they're coming in a week or two, or, hey, how do you feel about this? I was thinking, they don't care about that. They just, bam, they show up. And you have to know how to navigate them. So we must prepare our hearts even now so we know how to navigate those waters. We've talked the last couple weeks about temptation, and we talked about how to handle a critical spirit. And I'm kind of navigating through some situations that James was addressing when he was addressing the people there. And today we're going to look at chapter 4. And there was people there that said, you know what, I think we're going to go over here and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And James calls them out here in a minute and he says, hold on. He goes, who do you think you are to say what you're going to do and what you're not going to do? You know, rather it'd be better if you said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Not my kingdom come, but yours. Not my will be done, but yours. And he teaches them about humbling their hearts. So here's James chapter 4. I'm going to start right around verse 13. He tells them, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. What James is telling them is he's saying, be careful what you say you will and won't do, because words can be so impetuous. When our plans don't turn out the way that we think they should, all of a sudden we can find ourselves in an ugly place. Or we can try to do something, go this way when God wanted us to go that way. We try to defend our actions rather than just simply saying, Lord, what do you have to say? That's why we must constantly seek first the kingdom of God. Be in his presence, saying, Lord, what do we need to know? So how do you prepare for this? How do you prepare for crisis? Or how do you prepare for understanding difficult times in life? And what we have to do is ask ourselves questions. We should test ourselves. We should ask questions about our godliness. Do you ever ask questions of yourself? You know, they can look one of two ways, you know. And people usually do this in the wrong way. They always say, what were you thinking, you idiot? You know, what's your problem? Why can't you ever get it right? You know, but the questions he's encouraging us to ask is about our godliness. When we lean into God and say, God, what's the next step for me? What's the new season? How should I handle this? Give me your heart, Lord, and let me know. See, he says, you ask yourself, you start preparing before a crisis hits. And then all of a sudden, your heart becomes better. One of the things that tends to lead us into hasty or rash, impetuous words and decisions is temptation that we talked about a few weeks ago. Did you know that the devil will offer us something beautiful but never show us the ugly results? He does it every time. I told you that kind of a mentor in my life, or a gentleman that really spoke into my life, is Wayne Cordero. And he was telling a story one day about a fisherman. And he said there was an old fisherman along the river, and he had been fishing there for about maybe 2-3 hours, and a younger fisherman showed up and asked him, he said, hey, you catching much? And he said, oh, yeah. He said, there's a lot of fish in there. And the young fisherman got his pole out, sat down, started to grab his bait, and looked at the older man and said, what kind of bait are you using? Or what kind of fish are you catching? And the older fisherman said, well, it just depends on what you want to catch. That'll determine what bait you're going to use. He said, well, tell me more. And so the older fisherman went on to say, what fish, like what bait? And he says, so it just depends whatever I'm after. And the young fisherman's like, man, you really know a lot about all this. And they cast their reels into the river. They sat there and talked for a while. When all of a sudden the older gentleman's pole started doing that, you know, and the line started going, zzz, you know, taking off. Well, the young guy was excited. Dude, you got a bite on your line. He goes, I know. And he says, well, why are you just sitting there? He said, just wait for it. And he continued to talk. Zzz, the line keeps going out. And it was driving the young man nuts. And he said, you got a bite on your hook. He goes, I know. He said, but here's the thing you need to know. When the fish finally take the bait and they get hooked, They panic and run. I let them go just long enough to where they think they got away. And then in that moment, bam, I set the hook. And I thought, that's a picture of the devil, isn't it? Doesn't he do that with each and every one of us? He makes everything look so beautiful and tempting and entertaining to where all of a sudden we'll take a nibble and we're hooked, but we try to get away. And about the time has passed, we think we got away. That's when he sets the hook. The enemy of our soul, remember his job description. He is here to do three things: steal, kill, and what? Destroy. He doesn't care if it takes a month, a week, a year, as long as he gets it done. That's his job. And so we have to be vigilant about preparing our hearts, because crisis will come. Temptations will surface. There will be challenges in front of us. And the question will always remain, is our hearts prepared to be able to not just weather the storm, but to be able to stand strong on a firm foundation? The devil only shows us, if I can put it this way, the beautiful side of evil. He never shows us the ugly side, because if we saw the ugly side for what it is, we'd run, screaming, terrified, horrified. But he's never going to show us that. He's going to try to lure us in. So here's the three questions. I'll start with the first one. And I'm going to ask you throughout this week, give it a shot. When you wake up in the morning, ask yourself these questions before you leave the house. Because as soon as you leave that house, it's on, baby. It's probably on before you ever get out of the house, but do the best you can to ask yourself these questions. Here's number one. What am I filling my mind with mostly every day? What am I filling my mind with? What am I putting in there mostly every day, or pretty much every day? What am I spending my time dwelling on the most? Is it the pain of this person that they caused in my life? Is it the finances? Is it the worry? Is it the fear, the concern? What is it that you fill your mind with mostly every day? Because have you ever heard the term garbage in, garbage out? Okay, but it works the other way too. You put good stuff in there, good stuff comes out, all right? So we have to start. It doesn't matter if you've been walking with the Lord 2 minutes, 2 hours, 2 weeks, 2 years, 2 decades. What are you filling your mind with that's leading you to whatever it is it's leading you to? Maybe you're here today and you're saying, that maybe explains why I'm where I'm at. There's good news. You can do something about that. There's something you can do to redeem that. You see, according to the Bible in Matthew chapter 12, 34, it says, the mouth speaks of that which fills the heart. That which fills the heart. So you and I need to take time to fill ourselves with godly thoughts. So that, what's that look like? Well, I don't know. Do you do devotions? Do you journal? Do you do anything with podcasts? Do you have a life group? Do you go to church? Obviously, if I'm speaking to you, you're here. But is it just I've come to church, or I am the church? You know, there's different ways of understanding all of that. Is being in the presence of God filling your heart, or are you just filling a pew? You know, that makes a difference, doesn't it? Whether you can be able to live this out, this relationship. And so God is calling us to fill our hearts with what's going on in the Word of God. Let it be our strength that we can draw from. Are you spending time talking to God? Here's a big one. Are you spending time listening? Just being silent. You know, when I first gave my heart to the Lord, when I first became a believer, I did a lot of talking, but I didn't do very much listening. And it was all right, because I was a new Christian, and what father doesn't want to hear their kid talk to them, right? But I had to learn what it meant to be silent in the presence of God and be okay with that, so that I could hear what it is that the Lord was speaking to me. But I ask again, what are you filling your mind with mostly? Because one day a week isn't going to do it. Let me illustrate it this way. What if I told you that next door in the other building was the biggest buffet you've ever seen in your life? Let me just clarify, there is no buffet over there, okay? I want you to track with me. I don't want to talk, and you guys are like, I wonder if they got pot roast. But let's just say everything you could think of is over there. Anything from Mexican food to Cuban food. I mean, just all over the place. All the food you could ever want, imagine, or dream of, it's available to you next door. So when we leave here, we're going to go over to that building, and you can eat till your heart's content. How many of you be down with that, right? Well, most of it. And by the way, It's free, right? Okay, now I got like 50 more people. So let's say you can go over there and eat all that you want, but here's the catch. If you can't eat anything until the next Sunday. Well, that's not going to do much for you, is it? Sure, you may gorge yourself. You may walk out of here going, I can't even sit in the car. But 24 hours from now or less, you're going to be hungry again because of the way we're wired. You can't make it from Sunday to Sunday on one physical meal. What makes us think we can make it Sunday to Sunday on one spiritual feeding as well? There has to be more. We have to be asking ourselves, what are we pouring into our hearts and our minds and our lives? I'm not telling you there's a perfect formula. I'm just saying feed yourself. Pay attention. Inventory. Because we don't have a problem listening to the radio or podcasts when it comes to, you know, some rock and roll music or some classics or some jazz. We don't have a problem getting on Netflix or Hulu or any of the other ones that I won't spend any more time mentioning. We don't have a problem doing that. But the question is are we making any time and any room for feeding ourselves spiritually? We all need spiritual nutrition daily. Amen? We do. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is what? Good, okay? And the evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth what is? Evil. Come, just make sure you're with me. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. All you have to do if you want to know the condition of somebody's heart is listen to them talk for 5 or 10 minutes. Because it's going to come out. I can tell usually, it's not like I'm a genius about this or something, but you don't have to be. Just listen to somebody talk and you can tell how they feel about a situation, about a person, about a business, about a song, about a, you know, all you have to do is listen to them and you'll see what comes out. You'll know if they are into 80s music or not. You'll know if they're into jazz or not. Oh, they like classical, I can tell. Why? Because what's on the inside is coming out. And so it's the way we're wired, but so it should be spiritually. That when we go around, that the good can come out. But that means we have to put the good in. So I start with asking the question again. What are you feeding yourself? What are you filling your mind with every day? And if you're here today and you're saying, I haven't been filling it with very much good stuff, you can do something about that today. You don't have to be religious. God is not concerned about you being religious. Do you understand that? He doesn't need you to be religious. He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to be real. And I can't get any more real than asking you what fills your heart. And then go find that and fill that. Let God be the one who fills your heart. Let that be the thing that you can feed off of. So that's the first question. Here's the second question. Question number two that you can ask yourself throughout the week. Do I have the courage and humility to repent if I'm wrong in spirit or fact? Do I have the courage and the humility to repent if I'm wrong in spirit or in fact? What do you mean by spirit and in fact? Sometimes you're just wrong because it's wrong, right? And then there's other times when you can be right, but the spirit behind your attitude and all that could be way off. You could be right about what you're saying, but completely wrong in the way that you're saying it. And so, do you have the courage to address some things in your life? Do you have the humility to address some things in your life that maybe the Holy Spirit is calling you to repent of? Because remember repentance, it's not difficult. It's I was going this way and it was wrong. Boom, I'm turning and I'm going the other way. But the question is do we have the courage and the humility? Remember the Wizard of Oz, the lion on there? All he wanted was some courage, you know? Sometimes we feel so cowardly. But the Word of God says that you've not been created that way. You've been created in the image of God. And he says, will you walk in that courage and in that humility and be willing to repent? Because if the answer is no, then my suggestion is don't speak. All right. If you can't have courage, if you can't have humility, then maybe you should talk a little bit less because you will paint yourself into a corner. You will get your foot stuck in your mouth. James chapter 4, verse 16 says, as it is, you boast in your arrogance and all such boasting is evil. Let me read to you Proverbs chapter 6. I like how it's worded. This is a, you can throw it up there. This is the scripture that's in your outline, but I think this one is not. It's just a different translation. It's Proverbs 6, but the New Living Translation says, if you have trapped yourself by your agreements and are caught by what you said, quick, get out of it if you possibly can. You have placed yourself at your friend's mercy. Now swallow your pride. Go and beg to have your name cleared, the Word of God says. In other words, the Word of God is saying, humble pie is best eaten warm. It means be quick to say I'm sorry. Be quick to humble your heart. Be quick to turn around. Be quick to change whatever it is that you know that needs to be changed. Swallow your pride. Admit you made a mistake, if you did indeed make a mistake. And as the Bible says, it's okay to have emotions, all right, because that's part of how we're wired. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, be angry, but do not sin, nor let the sun go down on your anger, right? He's saying you're gonna experience emotions. That's all right, but are you courageous enough and humble enough to repent when you know you're wrong? Or when you know you're right, but your attitude is wrong? Or both. Sometimes we can be wrong and have a bad attitude about it. We got to be willing to humble our heart. The emotional side, it's okay. It's going to come. It's going to happen. We're going to experience it. Be angry. Just don't sin in the process. And he says, nor let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, don't let another night go by. Be as quick as you can about this so that you can come to this place, so that you can come to this understanding of getting healing in our heart. Because the sooner we can do that, the better. You know, we're all going to make mistakes. Can we agree on that? Anybody else here ever make a mistake? Okay. I've made a lot of them. And we used to get in trouble a lot, but there was a lot of grace, you know. Sometimes we're afraid that God's not going to be gracious if we are willing to humble our heart, but that's all God is. That's part of who he is. He's full of grace that he wants to extend to you and me, but he wants us to be able to be prepared in our hearts so that as we face life, we can walk in the same grace he deposited in our life. So, question number one was, what are you filling your mind with mostly every day? And I want you to ask yourself each and every time, just what is it that you're focusing on? And then number two was, do you have the courage and the humility to repent? Because if you can say yes to that, if you know what you're filling in your spirit, if you have the courage and you have the humility, then that leads me to the last question. And write this down. Can I think before I speak? Can I think before I speak? I'm going to use the word think as an acronym here in a moment, but how many of you know it's always good to think before you speak, right? There was a cowboy down in Texas. He was driving his truck, and he had in the back of his truck was his favorite dog. And they were pulling a trailer, and in that trailer was his favorite horse. And they were driving around the roads, and he was unable to navigate the roads the way that he needed to, and there was an accident. And because of the accident, it was just a mess. A state trooper showed up, and he saw the horse laying there and knew the horse was in pain and agony, so he did the most humane thing he could think of, and he pulled out his revolver, boom, and shot the horse. He walked over around the trailer and saw that the dog had been thrown from the tailgate and was laying there, and it was whimpering and in pain, and he couldn't stand it any longer. And he looked at the dog and did the most humane thing. Boom! And he shot the dog. And he went looking for the driver and found him. And as he came through the weeds and came upon the driver who had his hips shattered and was in pain, the man laying there saw the trooper after hearing two shots come through the weeds. And the trooper looked at him and said, "You good?" Without missing a beat, he said, "Yep, never felt better." You would too after hearing two shots. It's all about perspective. Sometimes when we get to the part of speaking, I grew up and when I was younger, I did a lot of speaking before I thought. You know what I mean? I had all the answers. I knew everything. So I would just blurt things out, right? And I needed to think a little bit more before I spoke some of the things that I did. How can we, in our relationship with God, how can we, in our daily routine of life, let there be a moment where we think before we speak? And here's what I mean by this, using the acronym THINK. Because if we follow these steps, we can have an understanding that we're lining up with the Word of God. Getting a proper perspective can change our attitude and our behavior. And the question on the floor is, can we think before we speak? When T means this, is it truthful? If you're going to speak to somebody, you speak to them truth, but you should speak the truth in love, right? Can we agree on that? But the first thing you have to ask yourself is what I'm about to say truthful? How can I know that this is lining up correctly with the Word of God? Is it truthful? Some things are true, but they may not be the truth. Did that make sense? You may be right, but the way you say it isn't. Or who you're speaking to, they may think they have the truth, but it's their version of it. You know, the question is it truthful according to the Word of God? The H stands for helpful. Is it helpful? Is what I'm about to say going to help the person that I'm telling, the person that I'm talking to? Is it going to help them through their crisis? Is it going to support them as they go through this difficult time? So is it truthful? Is it helpful? The I stands for, is it immediate? Write down immediate. In other words, what I mean by that is it the right time? How many of you know that timing is important? You know that? The Holy Spirit, he knows exactly, he's spot on every time. He knows exactly when to speak, what to speak, how to say it. You know, I joke sometimes when I'm trying to explain the Holy Spirit to people, but I don't mean it jokingly as a ha-ha. But there's things that if you came and talked to me and it was a sensitive topic, I could get mad like that, right? If my wife talked to me, I might not get mad as quick, but she knows me a little better. But that same topic, the Holy Spirit knows exactly when to speak to me, and he can do it in such a gentle way, right? The Holy Spirit knows when is the right time. The question is, do you listen to the Holy Spirit who knows the right timing for all things? Or do you do it yourself? If you're going to speak the truth in love to somebody, is it truthful? Is it helpful? Is it immediate? And then the N is it necessary? Is what you're going to say necessary? Is it something that you know needs to be said, or it's something that needs to be done? And then the last one, K, is kind. Is it kind? If you're going to speak truth to somebody, you speak it to them in love, but the question is what you have to say said in, or done in a way of kindness? And I know some people are hearing like, listen, you know, they just need to hear the truth. And okay, that's true, but it doesn't mean you have to hit them with a hammer. There's some that maybe need to hear it a different way. I get that. But is it kind? We always have to aim to be kind. Years ago, now this person did not mean it necessarily this way, but we've shared with you that we've gone through a number of pregnancies. And when I say we, I mean Lisa. but we experienced 2 miscarriages, a stillborn death, before we had Seth and Drea. And we were youth pastors at the time, and we had lost a child, and it was very hard. We got pregnant again, lost another child. The third time we had our pregnancy, we had someone walk up to us and say these words, I hope this baby doesn't die. Right? And how do you navigate that? How do you handle that? How do you address it? You're the pastor of the church. Come here, I want to lay hands on you, right? I couldn't do that. But here's the thing. Our hearts were already prepared. It sounds morbid. We weren't sitting at home saying, hey, you know what? If anybody ever says this, here's what we need to do. Ready? Team Machen on 3. It wasn't that. It was, we need to prepare our hearts that we never know what's going to come down the pike. We never know when somebody's going to be taken away from us. We never know if somebody's going to say something mean or unkind. So what we need to do is we need to prepare our hearts. We need to fill our hearts, our minds, our souls. And that doesn't mean dwell on everything religious 24/7. It means know at the center, at the core of your heart, that you've built yourself up in the knowledge and in the presence of Jesus. And then you have to come to this place of being humble and courageous so that whether it's you that's wrong or somebody else that's wrong, you can navigate that season of your life and then think before you speak. This person was young. This person that said this did not mean it, as harsh as it was. But we were, in a weird way, ready. Are you? Are you ready for when life throws a curveball your way? Are you ready when there's challenges and you don't know what to do, because it's only by the grace of God. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the only one that has perfect timing. And so it's by His grace that we're able to experience all of this in life. So my prayer for you today is simply this. When it comes to navigating life in the modes of crisis, are you willing to allow your hearts to be prepared and to surrender? Are you willing to do that? I know you're a little confused and you're wondering why all the children are lining up right now. We're going to pray for them in just a moment. It's a new year. It's a new season. It's a new school year. There's so much that's going on. But can I tell you this? Anything that you're going to be and anything that you're going to do starts with you. So I want to ask if you close your eyes with me as we prepare our hearts and just say, Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you for each and every family that's here today, for the children that line up the walls on the back. Lord, I'm praying today that you would speak to us, about our hearts. And Lord, maybe some of us here today have not been filling our hearts with the things that we know we should, or maybe we've been filling our hearts, our minds, our times have been consumed with things that we should not. Then we ask, Jesus, that you would reveal those to us and give us the courage. Lord, give us the humility to turn from that, to repent, to just completely turn from that and embrace you, because we know that it's then that we'll be able to navigate life successfully. So Jesus, we love you. We thank you. We ask this all in your name.